Can I Say a Skater Boy Fancast. I'm Sabra Kojas.
I'm May, and we're really testing the limits of What More Can I Say, just sort of as a message in this episode. Avril, just let me start out the episode by giving a little feedback to Avril. Hey, Avril, can you do more stuff, please? You're making our job really hard. I texted Sabra right before this recording. And I said, Avril is getting more in the way of our podcast than me having a literal child.
And I thought that was funny, but I will say that I think your child is going to be the demise of the podcast, and at least Avril will give us something eventually. This is season 7, I think, of What More Can I Say, Skater Boy Fancast. Damn. And this season, we're really just, like, flying by the seat of our pants. Mm-hmm. We are making it up as we go.
Anyone who wants to suggest anything, there's never been a better time to suggest a topic. Like, we'll do it.
That's true, except that by the time this comes out, we'll already have recorded all the episodes.
That's a great point.
But you should still give us suggestions. I had an idea for an episode. It just required, like, some research and planning, and I just, like, have not had... I don't want to say I haven't had the time, because I could make time. I've just chosen not to make time, so I'm going to say I don't have the willpower to do the research on an episode that would be... There's a reality show, a new reality show. I think it's called Superfan, maybe, or something like that. And the premise is that there's, like, a celebrity, and then the whole audience is super fans of that celebrity, and they, like, randomly, quote-unquote, select 5 people to compete to prove who is the biggest super fan of that celebrity. I think I maybe have talked about this, because I think I've said that I want us... Like, obviously, if they did an Avril episode and we were not, like, on the episode, that would be really upsetting to me, because right. I want us to be known as, like, the Avril experts.
Right. Because we are. So, like, anyone right. who doesn't take us into account is just, like, not doing their research.
And so I had the idea that we could, like, plan out what an Avril episode would look like and what all the challenges would be and what the trivia would be. But again, that one that requires me to actually watch an episode of the show,
right.
and I haven't watched one start to finish. I've just seen pieces. And so that was like an hour that I didn't really want to spend, or 45 minutes. I didn't want to use my life for that. I don't know what I was trying to say there.
I got it though. You conveyed. The purpose of language is to convey meaning. So,
so there's that idea. But instead today, what I did was I Googled Avril Lavigne and clicked on news and then sorted it to just be the past month. And there was fucking nothing there. Yes,
that's exactly why I said what I said, because I did the exact thing.
Okay, yeah. So it was just so unhelpful. She's literally done nothing. So I thought we could talk about 2 things today. One, we did find one interesting article. It's not going to take that long to talk about, but we'll read it and we'll laugh. And then I thought we could talk about the ways that our lives have changed since starting this podcast, and the ways that our opinions on Avril have changed since yeah. this podcast. So we're gonna get deep here, and we're gonna hopefully make some jokes. I really want to be blaming my, like, lack of words on the fact that I recently had COVID, but I think I'm over it, so I just think my brain is like, boop!
Yeah.
Okay, which do you want? Do you want to start with the article? See Let's how much content we can get out of that article?
Yeah.
Okay. So we found an article from September 19th, 2023, that says Dave Hughes names Avril Lavigne as worst celebrity to interview.
I love this. Right off the bat, I love this.
Subheading, Dave Hughes has gone into detail about the worst celebrity interview of his career, saying the famous singer refused to look at him. And then it goes on, Dave Hughes is the latest media personality to open up about the worst celebrity interview of his career. The 2-day FM breakfast host named and shamed the star during an episode of news.com.au's Shock Jocks, where radio hosts are given the choice of answering tough questions or being electrocuted.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's your standard interview.
Yeah, you know, classic. And then, quote, Avril Lavigne was a shocker. Husey said in an episode, which you can watch in the video player above, she had a bad attitude. It was back around Skater Boy when she was at the height of her fame, he recalled. She wouldn't look at any of us. I'm not saying I'm the most attractive person in the world, but you can just look at me once.
What I love about this is that she was a teenager when this happened and was like for sure just acting like a teenager, and he was appalled.
Yeah, or she was just like anxious, like she was nervous or something.
New to stardom.
She wasn't like being a bitch on purpose, I'm sure.
Alternatively, she was being a bitch on purpose because she felt that she had an image. And she was, like, doing that really hard and not understanding that, like, you're not supposed to do that in this situation. That's for when you're filming a music video. Because she was a teenager and she didn't understand how everything worked.
Also valid. The article goes on. I'm, like, saying his name wrong. Husey's confession comes after fellow radio presenter Chrissy Swan revealed on air that Sam Newman was the worst interview of her career. I don't know who Sam Newman is.
Neither do I. Maybe it's another Australian. Who knows?
Well, then I'm just going to skip that part because I don't care.
Yeah.
And then that's basically it in terms of Avril content in that article. And they talk about some other celebrities that we're not going to mention on this podcast.
Yeah. The vibe is incredible. Just like going into an interview. Being straight up rude. But the thing is, Avril, we've talked about before, she's like not good at interviews. She's not good at doing the press circuit.
No. That's why I think she was anxious or nervous.
Right. And she was new to it. So it's like, she's not good at it now. As a whole ass adult with decades at this point of experience in the industry.
Yes.
She certainly wouldn't have been good at it then.
No.
So I think we can all forgive her.
Yeah, I think it's just very, like, silly. I think it's silly goose energy to complain about a teenager that you interviewed one time 20 years ago.
I like just, like, putting her on blast now.
Yeah.
In 2023.
I would love to hear her response to it. She would never respond because she doesn't respond. She never even fucking commented on the fucking Mod Sun
engagement. I mean, after the Hillary Duff stuff, she's learned, don't comment.
Yeah. But I wish that she would. I wish she was. She's so messy some of the time, and I wish she was messy all of the time.
Yes! Avril, be messier in 2024. Be the messy bitch you wish to see in the world.
Yeah. My mantra, create the drama you want to see in your life.
Exactly right.
Or in the world. I don't know what I usually say.
Good either way.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all the news. The other articles was like, oh, Avril wants to record a song with Hayley Williams. Okay. Great.
Yeah, we could have guessed that. And it's like another article that's like, maybe they will make a Skater Boy movie. This is the only Avril content that ever comes out.
And then, like,
they don't.
Oh, she was at a party. Oh, she broke it off with Monson. Yeah, that was forever ago.
I did see a funny article that was like, apparently Alicia Silverstone went to a fashion week.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too.
And, like, people, like, for some reason, someone thought Alicia Silverstone was Avril's assistant, which makes no sense. Like, she's clearly dressed for the red carpet.
Yeah.
The same age. Not, like, I don't know, I feel like your assistant's usually someone who's a little younger than you. You know, it's like that intern role.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. Whack.
That's funny, because I only was skimming, like, just scrolling through, and I thought it said that somebody thought that Alicia Silverstone was mistaken for Avril.
That's what I thought too at first, and you know, they posted a picture of her, and she does kind of bear a passing resemblance to Avril Lavigne enough that they're both like blonde ladies around the same age. But no, someone thought she was Avril's assistant, but they phrased it so weird in the article. It's like they thought she was Avril Lavigne's lackey. I was like, what? Why did she write it like that?
Do we wanna, you know what we should speculate on wildly?
Yeah.
So you know how there's a really big bed bug problem going on in Paris?
I do.
That's like much worse than the New York City bed bug problem, which we all know and love.
Right. And it was funny, so Paris just won a bronze medal at the World Gymnastics Championships, and I watched that happen, and I was like so happy for, not Paris, but France, the French team.
Yeah.
So happy for the French team, and then immediately found out that I was like, damn, ladies, you all have bed bugs, probably.
Yeah. Why were you happy for the French gymnastics team? Well, did America win?
Yes, but the French team has not, like, they have a gymnast on their team that I really like, and she's always so close to medaling all of the time. and never actually does. So I'm glad she gets her flowers.
Okay. I'm a Simone Biles girly, so.
Oh, of course. I mean,
that's all I care about, honestly.
She was a delight to watch. I had a great time. But anyway, that was what I was doing over the weekend. I was just watching that.
You had a great, to clarify, because you're like, I had a great time. That makes it sound like you went to.
I was there
and saw the competition live. No, you watched it on the
TV. It was in Antwerp, and I watched it on television.
Yeah, so Paris has this bed bug problem that, like, I don't remember exactly how much worse it is than than New York City's, but it's, like, very bad. And the bed bugs are on, like, and this is the same in New York too. Like, bed bugs can be in movie theaters, and like, you need to be careful when you're in places like that. And actually, I went to see a movie over the weekend, and I was so nervous about this bed bug problem because of what I'm about to get to in a second that I planned an outfit where I was like, I can fully take this entire thing off as soon as I get into my house and immediately like do laundry.
Good.
Yes, yeah, so I was like. No bed bugs here. So the reason I was nervous is because normally I would not care. Like, I mean, I guess I care for Paris. I don't really care that Paris has a bed bug problem, except that Paris Fashion Week just happened.
Right.
And then I was seeing tweets being like, New York and LA are about to be fucked because everyone's going to come back from Paris Fashion Week with bed bugs in their luggage and they're going to spread it.
And they've been wearing more outfits than normal, so it's on all their stuff. They've been wearing more and larger outfits than normal. You know, like more folds for bed bugs to get into. Yeah,
more fabric.
Yep.
So do we think Avril has bed bugs?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm also just assuming she was at Paris Fashion Week this year because she went last year, right?
I'm also assuming that, yeah.
But I'm just going to assume that she was there, and do we think she... Well, the thing is, also, frankly, the bedbug problem didn't just... This is not a new thing in Paris. Like, they've had this bedbug problem for a few years now. So do we think Avril got bedbugs last year?
Yes. Yes. I think she's had bedbugs this whole time. I think she brought them on tour with her.
Yeah. She is single-handedly causing, like, a bedbug pandemic.
Yeah. I like this article that's what's Paris doing to solve the bedbug crisis ahead of the 2024 Olympic Games.
Yeah.
We really want to be prepared. It's in 9 months. You guys have 9 months to get your act together.
I question, we've gone, the reason I brought this up was because of Avril going to Fashion Week, but I just want to talk about bedbugs now.
Good.
Why can't they just... get, like, the city hires exterminators to go to all the hotels, go to all the movie theaters, go to all the, like, train cars, and just get all of, like, do, like, proactively do all of this, even if they don't, aren't sure that there are bedbugs there, you know?
Like, fumigate everything?
Like, wouldn't that be the way to solve it?
So it sounds from this article that, first of all, the bedbugs are becoming increasingly resistant to insecticides.
Oh, God.
Oh, we love it.
Oh, no.
And that's why the numbers of bedbugs are rising. And also, in Europe, they regulate chemicals a lot more strictly than we do, because here we take an approach that, like, we see whether things are actually causing a threat, whereas in Europe, they take the approach of, like, could it potentially cause a threat?
In terms of chemicals, yes. We're saying that we don't stop using a chemical until it's proven to be...
Until we have, like, it is likely to cause harm, as opposed to, like, there's an outside possibility it'll cause harm, so we won't do it at all, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah, that's,
but
like...
But then, doesn't Europe drink a lot more than the U.S. does, and alcohol is a known carcinogen?
Yeah, I mean, look at that. When it's part of culture, they're just like, well, what can you do? Ouzo for everybody.
I think maybe they should make killing bedbugs part of their culture.
I don't disagree with you, but apparently they can use fewer chemicals, and the chemicals that they do use, bedbugs are becoming increasingly resistant to, is what I'm seeing online.
So then that's not necessarily an issue for America as much, that's though, correct. Because we use stronger stuff, so we definitely kill it.
Yeah, but then I guess, is it worse if they become resistant to the stronger stuff, you know?
Well, yeah, but they wouldn't. Like, that's the whole, like, you take antibiotics through a whole course and you make sure you fully kill the virus because it's not going to become resistant if you kill it.
Yeah.
It can't grow if you killed it. I also have a question about bed bugs because I recently went through a scare where I thought maybe I had bed bugs because I had a rash that was taking over my whole body.
Oh, no.
And it was like red bumps, and every morning I would wake up and there would be new red bumps in new places.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Turns out, I'm trying to make a stand-up joke about this, so help me out here. Maybe I'll just do what the joke is right now in front of you on this podcast. Okay, so this is part of a, there's not really jokes in this yet, but I'm working on it. So this is part of my larger conversation about herpes and how I have it. And so I say, there's really nothing wrong with having herpes besides the stigma, which, like, honestly, I haven't really experienced that much of. If anything, I think people might be, like, too chill about STDs around me. Like, when I went to the doctor because I had this rash that was taking over my whole body, and he says, in the kind of voice that you'd use to tell someone, like, there's nothing wrong with you, or I had a cupcake today, he told me, maybe it's syphilis.
Ah!
Which, like, I'm all for destigmatizing STDs, but I don't think that was the way to, like, tell me that news.
Not the delivery that you want.
Right. And his point was that it's not bed bugs, so maybe it's syphilis.
Great.
Turns out, and this is true, the rash was because I contracted another herpes virus.
Wow, there, look at that.
There are 9 of them, so I'm really on track to catch them all.
Yeah, I was going to say, gotta catch them all.
Yeah.
The Pokemon approach to herpes.
The Pokemon approach to viruses. Oh, that's funny. I'm writing that down.
Good.
Approach to STDs. That was my joke when monkeypox, or I'm so sorry, Mpox was a thing in New York City because it's a skin-to-skin contact virus. Mm-hmm. And so I tweeted, I was like, debating if I should just, like, purposely contract Mpox so I can really get all of the skin-to-skin contact viruses in my body. Obviously, I did not do that. It was a joke. Mpox sounded so fucking terrible
to
contract.
It did. It really sounded unpleasant.
I actually was so anxious about it. It gave me... I would wake up in the middle of the night having an anxiety attack about Mpox.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a bad time in my life.
It was.
Yay, anxiety! So that's my joke about the time that I didn't have bed bugs or syphilis. I just had more herpes.
Yeah. Why not double down?
Yeah, I think so.
So what is our other Avril article? Are we going to talk about the fashion one or not?
We can. We might as well. We've got some time here. Let's click. So this is a BuzzFeed article posted September 27th.
I do want to flag a weird recording thing that's happening, which is that my recording says that we have been recording for 19 hours, 38 minutes, and 55 seconds. Don't know what's happening there.
Very funny. No, mine says 18 minutes and 33 seconds. So
great. great. My computer also for a while said that it was 11 p.m. and it's definitely 7:20 right now. So something's gone terribly wrong. We like moved the computer to the other side of the room and I think it's just taking a minute to catch up with its new location.
Are you living in the future?
Well, yes. Yes. I'm so 3008, etc.
Yeah. Can you tell me if I ever get a boyfriend?
It's classified. Not a liberty to disclose.
You can't even just be nice and tell me yes.
Yes.
Wow, I don't believe you.
Well, see, I feel like if I say yes, it sounds less sincere than if I'm cagey about it.
No, it would have sounded sincere if you just said it from the beginning.
No, I'm cagey about everything. So the second I'm not cagey, it'll sound like I'm lying.
So wait, if you're living in the future, that means that really where I'm living, your baby is really much younger than you've been telling me?
Yeah.
So you're not 39 weeks pregnant in my reality. You're like
12 weeks pregnant or something.
12 weeks pregnant, yeah. I haven't seen the bump in a while. I forget if I've seen it at all, frankly. And
Well, last time you saw me in person, I was 6 months pregnant. And I didn't really.
And you were very pregnant. Small. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think you were wearing a jumpsuit too, so. Yeah. it was really hiding it. Yeah, maybe you're not having a baby and you just wanted to torture me for 9 months.
Well, what's funny about you saying that is that I went over to my mom's house and, like, the way I'm carrying this baby is I just have a baby bump. Like, nothing else about my body has changed at all. And so she was like, I feel like you're lying to me. Like, you're just wearing a fake bump.
That's really funny. I always wonder that. I rewatched the movie, The Pregnancy Project recently, which was like a Lifetime movie based on a true story of a girl who, for her like senior project in high school, faked having a pregnancy because she was Hispanic and from a low income. She was born to a teen mom, or maybe she wasn't born to a teen mom, but like her sibling, like her mom had been a teen mom. And she was just always told, like, you're gonna get pregnant and ruin your life and, like, blah, blah, blah. And so she wanted to see, like, what the stigma and the stereotypes of, like, being a pregnant teen actually were. And so she fakes having this pregnancy. She only tells, I think, her best friend, her, like, teacher that's supervising the project, her mom, and her boyfriend. Like, doesn't even tell the rest of her family. Like, her brother genuinely believes she's pregnant. And I was saying, because there's a scene in the movie where, because there's another pregnant girl at her school that she, like, becomes friends with through this project, but that girl's actually pregnant and she's not, and she's lying to her.
Oh my God.
And there's a moment where the girl's like, wow, like, for being 5 months, like, you're really small, and she, like, freaks out. She's like, oh my God, I hadn't, like accounted for the fact that the baby grows and you get bigger.
That's so funny.
But then also thinking about, like, yeah, there's other parts of your body that, like, change and that she wouldn't have, but I guess no one noticed, so. Because she did pull off the project pretty successfully.
Good for her, except for the lying to potentially a very emotionally vulnerable person part.
Yeah. She lied to a lot of people that, at least in the movie, were all very mad at her. I don't remember if they were that mad at her in real life. But yeah, and I don't think she ever actually got pregnant as a teenager, so she broke whatever stereotype everyone was putting on her anyway. It's good for her. Anyway, we're gonna read about that was my tangent about a movie I watched months ago.
This is a really good podcast. You know who's never been pregnant, to my knowledge? Avril.
That seems hard to believe, frankly.
I don't think we should get into the weeds on this particular topic now that I hear us saying it. You know who doesn't appear to want kids? How about that? Let's rephrase.
Yes, Avril doesn't want kids. No, but, like, fun fact, this is the speculation, statistic that you can find on the internet is that most miscarriages happen before somebody even knows that they're pregnant. So just in all her years of life, statistically speaking, seems like something would have had to.
Listen, I don't even know where to begin on that one.
Some sperm and egg, I don't know. That's how pregnancy works, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, this is a great podcast, as I was saying. Yeah. Further to that point, let's talk about this article.
So this article is a little bit of a callback to a previous episode where we talk a lot about Olivia Rodrigo. And this article is from BuzzFeed. It says, before Olivia Rodrigo, there was Avril Lavigne. Here are 11 of the most iconic looks from the original pop punk princess in honor of Avril's 39th birthday. We as a society really don't talk enough about the fact that Avril Lavigne had a whole generation of preteen girls wearing ties on the day today. Did she though?
No. No, people didn't actually do that. I did that, like, one time.
Yeah, I knew a girl at summer camp who really wanted a tie, and we did, like, a Secret Santa, even though it was summer, because it was summer camp, and the girl who got her bought her a tie from the, like, gift shop thing, and the girl was really obsessed with it. Wow. She really liked screamo music, though, so it made sense for her.
It does. Well, I feel like if I was not, like, going around wearing a tie on the regular, then people didn't do it. Like, I would have been the person who did that.
Yeah.
If people were doing it. Although I didn't do the raccoon stripe hair. I hung out with people who did, and I didn't hang out with anyone who wore a tie. So.
Well, I think the raccoon stripe hair was more emo, and the tie was more pop punk.
Yeah, the raccoon striped hair was like when Seam Kids were a thing.
Yeah. With the really, oh my god, that like your, for some reason the hair on the top of your head was really voluminous, but yes. Then it was like really thin at the bottom.
Yes. It was a choice. A really bold choice. It was like going in a mullet direction, I would say.
Yes. Oh my god, I saw a baby with a mullet recently. By baby, I mean like, I don't know, he's two probably. And he had a full mullet. Oh like, my god. The parents purposely gave their child a mullet.
Wow, that's bold. That's bold. What if my kid's born with a mullet? Could easily happen.
You get rid of it. You give it to your sister, and you're like, I can't raise this baby.
Something that'll happen sometimes with an infant is if you wash their hair, it just comes right out. So that would be my solution. That happened to my sister.
I guess that's... I think it's weirder the fact that some... Are some babies born with hair or all babies born with hair?
Some. Not all. Okay. A lot of babies are born with hair. My baby has hair.
That feels gross. No offense. But there's like a hair circling around your uterus. No, I know. That feels crazy. Disgusting. I like that.
It's like the sort of wives tale that maybe has some mild scientific backing is that if you have really bad acid reflux, then your baby has a lot of hair. Because like allegedly the reason would be that the hormone that like makes the hair grow also triggers acid reflux. I don't know if there's any validity to that. But whenever I go in for an ultrasound, the ultrasound tech looks at the baby and goes, you have really bad acid reflux. And I go, yep.
No offense, it's so disgusting to me to think about, like, just a pile of hair in your uterus.
I would say if it were only a pile of hair, it would bother me more.
I get that, but for some reason it's gross in my brain either way, whether it's attached to a human or not.
That's totally fair.
This is what, like, my mom does not understand about me not wanting kids, is I have, like, a, like, visceral physical aversion to pregnancy.
Yeah, it's not for everyone, let me tell you.
No, it sounds, and no, pregnant people, no offense, make me uncomfortable. Yeah, that's real.
It's all good.
Yeah, May just like purposely hasn't hung out with me in 6 months, so
she's like spent years telling me that pregnant people make her uncomfortable and I'm pregnant. She's like, yeah. Why don't you want to hang out with me? I'm like, I think it's you that doesn't want to hang out with me.
Nah, I've tried so many times to get you to hang out with me and you wouldn't, so.
You know me, constantly refusing.
Yeah.
Let's see these iconic looks.
Okay, so it says, long before Olivia Rodrigo was spilling her grungy guts and scream singing into the mic, Avril Lavigne was paving pop punk's way into the mainstream, just her and a tie against the world.
Oh my god.
So during the renaissance of pop punk, it's only fitting to honor she who made the blueprint. Everything from Avril's hit single to her legendary aesthetic and her attitude-filled persona reminded us of who she was, complicated. And in doing that, she empowered us all. Well, guess whose little birthday it is today? Say it out loud, Avril Ramona Lavigne. In honor of her 39th birthday, here are 11 of Avril's most iconic moments and looks that defined pop culture as we know it. The math on that, by the way, is 39 equals her age, divided by 3 equals the number of times I saw Miss Thing perform live in concert from the years 2004 to 2013, and then subtract 2 equals the number of times Avril has been married and divorced to a famous Canadian rocker, i.e. Derek Whibley from Sum 41 and Chad Kroeger from Nickelback, of course.
That was a really elaborate way of trying to say that.
What is that even trying to say? That it's that's how she got to 11? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not going to crunch the numbers. I simply won't.
Oh, it is. Okay, 39 divided by 3 is 13, right? And then minus 2. Okay. You could have just picked 11. What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, 1, the complicated music video. In 2002, at just 17 years old, Avril released her debut album, Let Go, but it was the music video for her debut single, Complicated, that really showed the world who the fuck Avril Lavigne was, and with that, Canada's pop-punk princess was born.
Yeah, this is an iconic look. I can't disagree. I will say, I don't know why they didn't pick up an image from the music video where you can see her outfit. It's just like her from the shoulders up.
Yeah, it's literally like a headshot.
Huh? And that's true of the number 3 as well. When she defined what it means to be a rock chick, you can't see what she's wearing at all.
Yeah, you literally can't. You can see the bracelet. We'll skip down to that one real quick. 3, she defined what it means to be a rock chick. Quote, if you want to know what I think that I am, I think that I'm just a rock chick, and I like to rock out. I like to throw shit around. I like to go nuts. I like to lose myself on stage. I like to scream. I like to holler. I like to break things, in all caps. I like to yell. I like to get my anger out. And you know what? Everyone has their own opinion on it. Everybody.
That's such a hysterical quote. This is what I mean. Like, she's such a poor communicator, but she gets her point across so well at the same time. Like, the stuff she says is unhinged, but you're also like, well, that was a mood.
Yeah.
I like to go nuts is, like, such a funny thing to say, and you know she's saying it really, like, I'm going to make a really big point about who I am. I like to go nuts.
Yeah, Avril, you do that.
Pop off, though. I will say the outfit that they put for number two, her MTV Music Awards outfit from 2002, that is, I would say, dead center of the bullseye of iconic Avril outfits.
Yeah, it says her debut appearance at MTV Music Awards in 2002 solidified her signature style, low-rise cargo pants, a stack of studded bracelets, and the loose necktie. When Avril trekked from Napanee, Ontario to accept the Best New Artist Award at the 2002 MTV Music Awards, she made sure to shout out her roots with a giant Canadian flag pinned to her now iconic tie. Her win marked not only a huge moment for the original Y2K pop punk music movement, but a win for Canada.
It's a win for Canada, gang! But yeah. She's also wearing like a sort of cropped white tank top, and she has like the black bra straps, which is what she's wearing in the complicated music video. So sick reference there.
Right, so that's the other thing is, those are the same outfit.
Right.
Like, these are not 11 different looks. You picked the same look twice. Just two different moments where she wore it.
Yeah, it's true. It's a fact. Two iterations of it. Because she's wearing black pants in the complicated music video. And that's basically the only difference. The other thing that I like about this is that if you look at, like, the pockets of her pants in this image, it looks like these pants have just gone through the wash. And, like, you know, sometimes you'll put something through the wash and the pockets will wrinkle in a weird way?
Yes.
That's what has happened to these pants. This is not a new outfit.
Yeah.
She rolled up in, like, heavily laundered pants. And I love that. She's a rock chick. She doesn't care.
Yeah. She likes to go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
With her pants. Okay, number four. He was a boy, she was a girl, wearing a green graphic t-shirt, capri skate pants with a chain and even a tie. Can I make it literally any more obvious? When Avril sang those legendary words atop an old car in the middle of a crowded LA intersection for the Skater Boy music video, the collective consciousness was forever changed. It wasn't long before she swapped that car top for the stage at Madison Square Garden, where she performed Skater Boy live at the 45th annual Grammy Awards.
As she should. What I like about this outfit is the socks. I think they're the unsung hero. It looks like she's fully wearing, like, tights.
Yes. Well, it's funny because the pants are cropped at such an unflattering part.
Hugely unflattering. Like,
but the socks make it okay because, like, if she didn't have the socks, it would be really ugly.
Yes.
But because she has the socks, it's a look. But I will say, this writer, journalist, shall we call them, just keeps giving us the same look, basically.
Yes.
Like, yes, I get this is not the tank top look anymore, but it's still, like, what you did, you just keep picking outfits where she's wearing a tie.
Right.
Like, when are we going to get to girlfriend era? When are we going to get to, like, the love sucks era?
Yeah. I also think I disagree with, like, this is an iconic outfit. I disagree with the outfit in Complicated being iconic so much as, like, a good example of the stuff Avril wore. Like, this green t-shirt is iconic. Those weird socks, iconic. The very normal for Avril outfit in Complicated, not iconic.
Yeah. I know my birthday is 10 months away, but I do think you should throw me, I don't know where you would do this because no one's going to go to Long Island. I guess you like get a bar or something. Throw me a surprise birthday party that I'm presently planning, but it'll be a surprise at the time. Right. A surprise birthday party where it is Avril Lavigne theme. We've talked about this before. Everyone has to dress like their favorite era of Avril.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And somehow you'll just have to, like I don't know, steal my tutu and then have it, like, ready for me because I won't know that that's what the party is.
Okay, taking notes.
So, and then you dress like Skater Boy Avril.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think that makes sense for you.
Yeah. That all tracks.
Okay. Number five, performing at the Jingle Ball in 2002 in an asymmetrical Dickies cropped tank top and a belt buckle that reads "Caution, Biohazard." Honestly, this is a look. I kind of love it.
It's a great look. I am so into it. I don't know that I've ever seen this outfit. I love a one-shoulder moment so much.
I don't like a one-shoulder moment, but I think she really pulls it off in this photo.
Yeah, she looks great.
Like, there's something about just, like, not to, like, comment on her body, but there's just something that, like, her body and this asymmetrical top work really well together.
Correct. Also, I think the big chunky necklace and, like, there's something about what she's doing with the wrist cuffs, but then there's, like, one that's really high up, like, over her elbow. It's all working.
Yeah, it's on her bicep, on the shoulder, or on the arm that doesn't have the strap, and so it, like, balances it.
Yeah.
And because it's, like, the Dickies shirt, so it's black shirt, and it's got the red Dickies logo, and then the black pants, and then the belt is, like, red and white, so it all really, like, ties together.
It's an awesome outfit. I love it. I will say, I still, even though some people look so good in low-rise pants, I cannot get behind low-rise pants because they look uncomfortable to me. And so no matter how good you look, I still don't, it makes me uncomfortable to look at you if you're wearing low-rise pants. Because I feel like you're sitting down and you're feeling uncomfortable.
Interesting. I'll wear them sometimes. Mostly I prefer high-waisted because I do think that, I just think they're more flattering. I think short torso, long legs is a better look than long torso, short legs.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is what low-rise things are. And I think, frankly, I just hate Gen Z fashion. It's like this callback to Y2K, which is a lot of what we're looking at with Avril right now. And I just think that a lot of it's purposely unflattering and purposely ugly. And in other cases, I think it's an attempt at, like, weirdly, like these really overly baggy jeans look like they're an attempt to, like, hide parts of your body that you're insecure about that you, like, don't need to be insecure about. Like, you can just wear pants that fit. It's fine. Like, you'll totally still look good in pants that fit.
Speaking of ugly and unflattering on purpose, let's bring it to number six. The outfit that Avril wore to the 2003 Grammys, which is a disaster. You guys know the one we're talking about. This is the Rock On outfit. This is the top hat outfit. This is the bow tie outfit. And the thing that makes me so uncomfortable about this look, this is not a joke. She looks so much like me that I look at this and I feel like I did this as a teenager and I feel embarrassed. Even though it's not a picture of me.
This is so funny because I've never seen the top hat. I've actually only just seen this photo where she's opening the jacket and it says Rock On. And uh-huh. She's got the blue shirt and the, like, skull belt buckle. And so I've never seen the jacket closed where it has this, like, skull and crossbones on it and the stars. Buttoned. And then the top hat and the top... I never noticed the bow tie before because it's covered by her hair in the photo that I recognize. She looks... like Willy Wonka, like an emo Willy Wonka.
But scarier, she looks identical to me when I was about 16. And so it makes me so upset to look at it.
That's very good.
It's really, really bad for me.
Number seven, breaking the internet in 2004 with Sum 41's Derek Whibley in Central Park. When Sum 41 frontman and fellow Canadian rocker Derek Whibley was spotted with Avril, donning joint Doc Martens and this very sleigh black studded ensemble with the skinny striped tie. Here's the impact of this moment. Emo girls are officially getting the guy, and Hot Topic is about to have an amazing fiscal year.
That's fact.
It is a very Hot Topic look.
I for sure would have worn this as a teenager. I absolutely would have worn this and probably did.
I wouldn't have worn with, like, the chains on the pants. I wouldn't have worn these pants at all or Doc Martens, but this jacket with the studs, I absolutely
It's so
did
good.
Wear.
And that scarf, honestly, that was a look at that time.
I hate it so much. That, the scarf, just to bring it back to more movies, looks like a, who's the man who does, like, Nightmare Before Christmas?
Oh, Tim Burton. It's very Tim Burton.
It looks like a Tim Burton scarf.
It's extremely Tim Burton. You know what's funny? I'm not a Tim Burton fan at all. Never have been.
I'm not either, but that's not surprising.
It seems like maybe it would be my sort of aesthetic, but it's super not.
I think there was, like, a moment where Tim Burton was really popular, and I thought the people who were really into him were weird.
And
I think
right.
Society eventually caught on to that, yeah.
Yeah, you were right about that. I really like her black nails and the ring on her thumb.
I just want to say that Avril looks really young here to, yes. Like, how old was she when she married Derek?
Oh, good question. I guess I don't know.
Avril Lavigne, Derek, nope, not Derek Smith, Derek Whibley.
It was 2006.
And and they divorced in 2009, and she was born in 84, so 94, 2004, so 22. Oh my god, she was 22. Getting married.
Girl.
No.
Oh no, honey, what is you doing?
Yeah, literally. Okay, oh, here we go. Now we're getting into the outfits that I like. Number 8, this outfit she wore to lip sync to her own iconic song, What the Hell, in this TikTok during the Bite Me tour in 2022. So this one, she's wearing the, it's like a mesh top, and then it's black and orange, and the skirt is orange, and it's got, like, what is that? I don't even know what to call it, but it's cute. I mean, I don't like orange, but it's a cute look on her.
Yeah. She's definitely pulling it off. I will say she really clashes with the tour bus behind her, which is pink and very not the style that she's wearing.
Yeah. The author wrote, it's giving orange and black spooky inspired goth cheerleader with the matching creamsicle orange tips of her now signature blonde hair. I also just love the pink beach chair setup behind her. Like within the massive parking garage, it all goes hard as fuck.
Fair assessment.
Okay, number 9. Release of the Best Damn Thing album cover and the Girlfriend music video changed the game for me and millions of other women in 2007. And by that I mean all of a sudden, if you didn't have pink streaky highlights in your hair, you might as well have thrown a slushie on face and called yourself a loser, babe. I need to say, though, this image is from Girlfriend. Okay, for a second I thought this was an image from What the Hell, and I was like, that's not the right album.
Well, it's also the lowest quality GIF I've ever seen in my entire
life. Yeah, it was really hard to tell.
I don't know what is happening here. I don't know why they've, like, how did you scrounge up quality this bad in 2023?
Yeah.
It feels like harder to make it look like shit.
Right, you could have just made your own GIF off of the video.
Yeah.
And, like, done it in 4K.
Or just put a still image.
Right, that too.
Would have been better than whatever this is.
This is a really thrown together article.
Massively so. I will say this was my streaks from like clip and extensions phase.
Yeah.
So that does time out perfectly. I was a real clip and extensions girly.
I did a little bit of clip and like I had one clip in blue extension, but I just felt a little embarrassed of it like not being real. And I do kind of still believe this in some sense of, like, I think when you do things, they should be real. Like, I think piercings should be real, and I think tattoos should be real. Like, it's one thing if you're just, like, testing it, but, like,
right,
to continuously be like, oh, this is, like, my look. Like, just get a fucking tattoo, Dusty.
Well, young teenage me could not dye my hair fun colors, so it had to be a sometimes thing.
Yeah, I wanted to dye my hair fun colors, but I was an actor.
Exactly.
And so I convinced myself I couldn't do it, even though I definitely could have.
Exactly. That was where I was at, too.
Number 10, another fashion statement that Avril's consistently championed despite facing adversity from the rest of the fashion world, an animal print jacket. 2008 to 2022. Avril wore leopard print as a nod to another Canadian queen, Shania Twain, whom Avril honored at the 15th Academy of Country Music Honors in Nashville just last year.
These are some genuinely horrendous outfits that we're seeing.
Yeah. And again, this is not an Avril outfit. This is her, like, liking Shania Twain outfit.
Yeah, it's very questionable.
And finally, Avril's emo spiky crown from the 2013 Much Music Video Awards represents Avril's forever title as the original princess of pop punk. She's just wearing a dress. What the fuck are you talking about?
But she does have a spiky crown on that looks like it would really hurt you.
She has a spiky crown and spiky shoes, but it's a dress.
It is just a dress. She looks very good, but it's just a dress.
And then one of the comments says, no one thought she was punk. Her songs were always bubblegum. Nothing wrong with that. She was young and marketed.
Oh my god. My eyes are rolling so hard.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say right now we're 45 minutes into this episode. We're not gonna do the original thing I said, which was talk about how our opinions of Avril have changed during this podcast, because we don't have enough time for that. So we're gonna save that because, again, we don't have enough content for this podcast. Ooh. And especially because you guys don't like our fan fiction episodes, and so.
Yeah, and you sicken me, frankly. Those ones are fun. Listen to those episodes, you cowards.
Really, it was just the AI fan fiction, so maybe it's AI that people don't like.
Well, it's certainly AI that people don't like, but...
Well, yeah. Wasn't that a suggestion, though? Someone suggested we do that episode?
Oh, that might be the case. I don't know. I have to look back in my files.
We still like you, whoever suggested it. We had fun with it, but it is our least listened to episode.
Yeah.
At least when you account for, like, timing. Right. How, right. like, the episodes get more listens over time.
Where are the AI bros? Hello?
I know. I really thought with, like, putting, like, my descriptions, I really thought that more people would see it, but...
It's just the audacity for me.
And someone said, I will always like Avril for who she is, but punk isn't the word for who she is. And then someone says, blasphemy, Hayley Williams is the OG pop punk princess with superior style and I will die on this hill. And someone else responds, facts, Hayley Williams 100% is the queen of pop punk.
Okay.
Hayley Williams wouldn't exist without Avril. What the fuck are you talking about?
Hayley Williams was in baby clothes when Avril came out with her first song.
What?
Paramore was not popular until like 2006, 2007. So saying that she's the original doesn't make any sense timeline wise. You know who would disagree with you staunchly on this is Hayley Williams.
Hayley Williams.
It's always so weird when people defend like their celebrity fave in such a way that I'm like, the celebrity wouldn't want you to say that. Like Hayley thinks you look dumb.
Yeah.
And that's my thought on that.
That comes a lot up, like, politically when a political party will use somebody's song for, like, a rally or something, and then the artist is like, you absolutely fucking cannot use my song, because they really disagree with whoever that party is or the politician or whatever. And Hayley Williams specifically tried to get ahead of it at a concert pretty recently where she made a very... outright, very blatant, that's what I'm saying, blatant political statement. It was like, basically, fuck anybody who doesn't agree with her politically.
Fair enough.
Which sounds really bad when I phrase it like that, but I thought it was a fun thing at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Someone else commented, 39 and a perpetual emo teenager, it seems. LOL, it's not a bad thing, I suppose. But I was never sure who she thought she was kidding, saying she's punk. Her music is catchy bubblegum pop. Do you guys know what words mean? That, what?
That's really funny.
Again, not a bad thing, and I'm not saying she isn't talented, but I always felt like she was a bit of a poser. When she married Chad, I laughed so hard. That was awesome. I'm sorry that didn't work out.
Wow. The drama in that comment, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing that's funny about genre is the thing that I always say about genre, which is, like, people are so protective of genres in a way that I think is kind of goofy.
Yeah. Well, remember that time my sister tried to say that Fall Out Boy wasn't pop punk, they were just punk?
That's incorrect. Aviva, I hate to drag you twice on this, but here I go.
Yeah, I think... It's specifically with these things like pop punk. Like, nobody who likes pop music is ever going to be like, that's not pop, you know?
Yes. Like, there's no pop gatekeeping. What are we doing?
Right. Right. It's only, like, people who listen to music and think they're oppressed for the music that they listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Because they don't want you joining in on their... They're like, no, that's too mainstream.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yikes.
That was exhausting back in the day, I gotta tell you. I see less of it these days, but I'm also really not on the internet a lot, so maybe it just exists and I don't know about it.
The internet is such a wild place now.
I also don't interact with, like, anything that the youth likes. I'm not avoiding it, it's just I'm not seeing any of it, you know? I don't know what the youth is up to. I'm sure doing great out there, but I do not care. I'm not on TikTok. I'm not consuming any of that. So they could be doing what the hell ever and I would not know about it.
There was like a really weird trend for a little bit where young people got like really, really averse to sex in a way that like felt like we were entering another era of like sexual repression, which like is not the solution.
Right.
And like specifically in media. And it was like, it was just, like, a weird, very weird opinion to be having.
Right. Well, it's kind of like there's so much discourse about like Mr. Beast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing that I'm seeing right now. I guess maybe I sometimes do see what the youth is up to. Where it's like what he's doing is making reality TV. And like, I don't watch his videos, so I have no idea.
I don't either.
And I'm sure that he has done things that are like shady. Or I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about him. But from my perspective, it seems like, haven't we always had reality TV competitions wherein people do a bunch of dumb tasks and then they maybe make a lot of money?
Yes. So that's exactly what I'm so confused about, because I don't watch Mr. Beast and I'm only seeing like hot takes about him in like tweet increments. And so I don't understand, because it is things where it's like, oh, I'm gonna, the recent one is he's saying he's like, would you live in this room with another person for 100 days? Like, if I'm going to do this, and if people, like, the two people complete it, like, I'll give them however much money. And everyone's, like, saying how terrible that is. And, like, I'm sure that, like, the actual, not dynamics, but the actual, like, intricacies of what's happening probably is bad. But ultimately, I'm like, don't we do this on, television all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, have you watched Big Brother? Like, that's literally what the show is.
That's
like,
very true.
Millions of people tune in to watch that every week.
Yeah.
Or three times a week, literally. So, and then I know there was, like, a whole discourse about when he, like, paid for a bunch of people's, I want to say it was, like, cataract surgery.
Yes.
So that they could, like, see again.
Yes. The philanthropy stuff I see a little differently, potentially.
Well, so people were, like, mad about it, and then, like, it changed, and then people were like, oh, well, we're not mad at Mr. Beast, we're mad at the system. And I'm like, yeah, the system is bad, and he shouldn't have had to, like, be the reason these people can see. They should have been able to see, because the surgery was already existent and somebody should have, like, the government should have let them see. But, like, that wasn't how it started.
No.
It was really starting as, like, an attack on Mr. Beast. And I was like, what is the problem?
Yeah.
And if someone wants to explain it to me, I'm so willing to hate on him. He seems so hateable.
Yes.
And I'm
this is
so willing to
well.
Jump on this horse. But, like, I don't see it yet. And I just really, really need somebody to explain it to me.
Yeah.
Without me having to watch any of his videos, I really don't want to watch
any
of them.
No, not interested in the slightest. But anyway, no. Get at us. We're willing to learn. If you want us to hate Mr. Beast, just let us know. We'll hate him. No problem. I have no skin in the game at all.
Yeah, well, we've already said we'll sell out. And mm-hmm. If this is the way you want us to sell out, if you want us to make an entire anti-Mr. Beast podcast.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Whatever. Sure. That'll get views.
Right. Clearly.
Alrighty, guys, we're gonna wrap it up. Today was a hodgepodge episode, and next week will also be a hodgepodge episode, and we'll keep doing these until we have an actual idea, or May completely forgets I exist.
Or Avril does something.
Or Avril
I don't
dies.
Think this is on us, frankly. Oh my god, shit.
Well, she'll have a new album at some point.
That's true.
We'll have, like, three episodes out
eventually
of that.
Eventually she will do
and
something.
She'll get engaged again, you know. We know her.
This is a great point. This is a really great point.
Yeah. So, until then, this has been another episode of What More Can I Say, a Skater Boy Fancast.
Can I make it any more obvious?